Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. But we're not gonna waste any time. We're gonna go ahead and jump into our message here, Hidden Figure, and we're actually on week four of the series. And you may not know this, but we actually provide our notes within the YouVersion Bible app. So if you want to check that out, if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you go to Events. Go to the More tab, click in City Heart. It'll actually give you kind of a rundown of what we're talking about today, and you can use that during the week. So it stays up all week, so you can go back and kind of study on your own, check out the scriptures and stuff that we have available there as well in the YouVersion Bible app. But we're going to go ahead and kick it off. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 7. If you have your phone or a physical Bible, whatever it might be, John chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 37. And we've been kind of using this scripture every week as a foundation point for where the series and where the messages have been going. John chapter 7 and verse 37 says this. It says, "On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow.'" Big word there, flow from deep within him. And he said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And you can kind of leave something right there, just kind of mentally put in your mind. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him," this is Jesus, "we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Hidden Figure, part four. Bow your heads, let's pray really briefly. Lord, I just thank you for this day, for truly it's a day that you have made. And Lord, we rejoice and we're glad in it. I thank you for this opportunity once again to be your messenger, to be your voice in this church. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide me in this message, that you would speak through me a word of clarity, a word that will help us and guide us and comfort us and instruct us on how to live in this world. And Lord, I pray that everybody that's here under the sound of my voice, even our kids and kids ministry, are blessed by what you have to say to us today. And Lord, help us not only to hear it, but to live it, to do it every day in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Everybody said amen. Awesome. Well, I want to let you know that this book right here, it's kind of some of what we've been getting in this series is from this book, The Holy Spirit by John Bevere. I don't know if you have any readers in the room, but if you are a reader and you're kind of looking for something to kind of get a really kind of very base foundational understanding. You really want to know, okay, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Like just having a good grounding. John Bevere does an amazing job. This is a book called The Holy Spirit, An Introduction. I definitely, if you haven't read The Holy Spirit, you haven't read kind of what a lot about it, this is a great book to check out. The Holy Spirit by John Bevere. You can certainly come and look at it after if you want to see it. And that definitely has been a kind of a guiding force in this series, and really has spurned kind of where the Hidden Figure part of it came from. Because I think for a lot of us, and what we talked about is that a lot of us, we kind of don't know who the Holy Spirit is, or if we have heard of him, or if we've interacted in church somehow with the Holy Spirit, it's been kind of done in kind of a goofy, crazy way sometimes. You know what I'm saying? To the point where people are turned off, right? We've turned a lot of people off to the Holy Spirit because it's just gotten weird. And what we really are trying to do, endeavoring to do this series, is really kind of teach the Holy Spirit, get an understanding of him, and really, normal is kind of a bad way to put it, but really just a very practical way that we can fully understand exactly who he is, exactly what he does in our lives. And so that's really where we've been coming from in this series, where we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And this week, it's funny because my wife and I were having some conversations. We drove up to Atlanta to see my mom, and we were talking about kind of in the car, how does the Holy Spirit kind of change your life? And I remember this week kind of thinking, man, we have this baby on the way, and it kind of led me to think about, man, what was it like before we had Christina? Right? Because we got baby number two coming. But I'm like, man, what was life before we had my daughter? And we've done a couple trips where we would just get in the car and just travel, right? We would just go and not have to think. But then, you know, my daughter came and it's like, you have to have baby seat and stroller and pack and play and bags and all this stuff, right? Before it was just like, she had one bag, I had one bag, we'd get in the car and just be gone. Right? And then this baby came and she messed it all up. No, she changed how we operated, right? She changed literally our lives. And I was trying to think, man, what was it like before? What was it like before? Man, we were free. It was freedom. We were free. But no, I'm saying that. She's amazing, my daughter. She's like the best travel kid ever. Like, my daughter, she could probably give lessons if your kid doesn't travel well. Like, Christina's a master. She just knows she doesn't need gadgets and stuff. She can literally just sit there and entertain herself with a doll. She has a doll and a cup of juice. She's good, right? But anyway, like, as this baby's coming, I'm thinking about, man, what was it like? How did she change our lives? And I remember thinking as a first-time dad, like, man, I don't want to jack this kid up. Right, I want to make sure that the impact that I'm having on her life is something that's positive. And so in my life, I recognize, man, there was a little bit of, can I be honest, there was a little bit of growing up I had to do for the sake of her. There was a little bit of something, man, I had to get some stuff together to make sure, you know, then it wasn't crazy bad stuff, but there was some stuff, man, you know what, I want to make sure that every impression I have on her is from a great place. So I want to make sure that in her life that I'm, man, that I've grown up. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's kind of the same thing, man. It's like, how will the Holy Spirit change my life, right? How does his presence in my life, how does it change me? And that's a question that I really want to explore today. How will he change my life? How will the Holy Spirit change my life? And we have been talking for the last few weeks about this flow of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit flows in our lives. And we said that there are some different ways that he flows. And we said that the first way that the Holy Spirit flows, that he begins to impact our life, is that he gives us power, right? We have power that comes as a result of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's power that we receive. That was kind of the first flow, the flow that comes through us. The second one, you got the Lord saying, Jesus is literally telling us that he wants us to have, that he's given to us, this flow that flows from deep within us, that John 7:38. We said the second thing last week was revelation. Revelation, that the hidden things of God, the stuff that maybe I don't know about my life, the purpose and the things that I'm trying to get to, the things that I'm trying to see and the places I'm trying to go where maybe I can't see it. What the Holy Spirit does, he begins to help us see those things. He reveals it to us. Right, and that's really one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, that he reveals stuff to us. And so this week we want to talk about a third flow, right? How the Holy Spirit flows in our life, and this one is edification. 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 It's one of the most important things that we get from the Holy Spirit, and we're actually going to spend really 2 weeks on edification. We're going to teach it in two parts, but we're going to talk about edification. In this first week, I really want to talk about kind of what edification is. I want to give you just kind of a baseline stance of what edification is. If I was to give you the dictionary kind of definition, it would be this. Edification denotes the act of building a home, right? So picture that in your mind. Picture a home being built, right? And it's the promotion of spiritual growth and development of character in believers. Now, the thing about it is, you know, how homes get built, and I thought about it this way, how homes get built is very similar to how we get saved and grow in our faith, right? So if you think about a home, what happens typically when people are building a home from scratch? What do? They purchase the land, right? That's like the first thing you have to do. You have to purchase the land. And the same thing in our lives. Jesus literally purchased our lives. When we give our lives to Christ, there's a relationship that's built. There's a contract that we make with the Lord. We purchase the land. What's the second thing that you do when you're building a home from scratch? You have to clear some dirt. You have to clear debris. If there's trees, if there's brush, if there's kind of rocks and craziness that's in the way, that's on the land that you've purchased, what do? You clear, right? You clear that dirt. You clear the thing. The same thing really happens in our lives when we get saved. We're forgiven, right? The dirt and the mess and the shame and all the kind of bad stuff that we've done, in the moment that we get saved, it's cleared from our life, right? Jesus is saying, when we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, the work that he did on the cross, we now have that. So what he died with, all of our sins, we die in that moment, right? All the sin and stuff that we did, it dies, and we take on righteousness. We're made right in that moment, right? And so the dirt and stuff, it's clear from our life. And what's the next thing that you would do, okay? So now you purchase the land, you've cleared the dirt and debris, you build a foundation. Right? That's the first thing you're going to do to build a home. You don't start with the walls. There's no windows, no doors, no roof. You have to build a foundation. Same thing happens in our lives. We build a spiritual foundation. A spiritual foundation is laid in our life, right? We're trying to understand the basic things of God. That's the next thing that should happen. After you accept Jesus Christ, there's a foundation that is laid where we begin to understand who God is. Right? And it's basic. That's why we teach the growth track. Why? Because we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom in your life. Right? We want you to discover your purpose. And then we want you to begin to make a difference. Right? Because of this, that's the foundation that really should be laid in all of our lives. But the thing about it is that, you know what? This is a point where a lot of people just kind of stop. Right? They get that basic foundation. They get this basic kind of, hey, me and God are cool now. Right? And we just kind of stop. We don't really progress any further in our faith, in our faith walk. And if you think about it, this happens a lot in the world too, that people start to build homes. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. You go by, especially like new neighborhoods, where you see foundation slabs with nothing on them. And you can go by for months and months and months and just see foundation slabs just sitting there. And you're like, man, who bought this home? Like, what are they doing? Right? And all you see is a foundation. Like, there's nothing there. You see other homes getting built beside them. There's stuff going in and people moving in and they're happy and they're excited. But there's this kind of lone foundation that's just sitting there kind of the edge of the new neighborhood with nothing being built for months. And you're trying to figure out, man, what's happening? A lot of what happens is that people back out of their commitment. They kind of back out of the commitment, or they kind of get that baseline foundation, and they're just like, maybe they run out of money, or maybe they change their mind, right? Or they're like, well, now we wanted something different. We want to do something different, or something comes up. But in some way, the walls don't go up. There's no plumbing put in. There's no appliances. There's no windows. There's no ceiling. It just stays there. Many people know God and they love God, but they just stop there. It's a great foundation. Don't get me wrong. I want people to get saved, and I want that baseline to be there. That's great. But really, what God desires for us is to become a complete house, a complete dwelling, where not only have we purchased the land and we've cleared the dirt and the debris and the shame and stuff, and we've laid a great foundation, but then we begin to add some stuff in. Right? The frame is built. There's some walls that go in. There's some windows that go in. There's plumbing that goes in. Thank you, Lord, for plumbing. Right? There's all this stuff that goes into a house that we need. Right? And that's what God is saying in our lives. I don't want you to just stay at the foundation place. That's great. Great solid foundation is awesome. We all need that. But there should be more on top of that. There should be more on top of that. The Holy Spirit brings edification to our lives. That's his job. The Holy Spirit is what builds us up. If you think of edification, it's of building a home. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It helps us to go from that foundation place to being complete in God, to where we are continuing to grow up and have a home. It's one thing about a home that you see is that for people that own a home, they're always kind of working on it. There's always something to fix. There's always something that gets messed up or something that has to change, or you gotta keep working on it. It never stops. And the Holy Spirit brings edification to our lives is for one major thing. It's so that we can grow spiritually, right? We have to grow spiritually, and that never stops. There's never a point where we should stop growing spiritually. Why? Because spiritual growth is for everybody, right? Sometimes we think, oh, that's just for the pastor, right? The pastor's the only person that should be doing that. Yeah, it's great, pastor. Yeah, you grow spiritually. I'm going to do my thing over here. It's great that you're doing that. Awesome. You're praying. Great for you. Awesome, pastor. Way to go. Woo. I'm going to do something else, right? And we think it's just for the pastor. The pastor's the only person that's supposed to grow spiritually, but it's for everyone. It is something that we should desire for all of our lives. We should desire that. You should never get to the place where you think, you know what? I'm good spiritually. I've made it spiritually. You should never get to that place. If you start thinking, you know what, I'm at the place where I'm good, there's nothing else to work on spiritually, you have just lost, right? Just don't go there, right? We should be continually pursuing that, and as you sincerely engage God with an open heart through the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to recognize the blessings that come from our spiritual growth. There's wisdom and closeness that comes from quality time spent with the Holy Spirit, and it should and it will spur you on to want to have even more of a fulfilling relationship. That's really what we should all be pursuing, not just a baseline relationship, but really one where we're continuing to grow, where there's we're continually being fed. It's something that is kind of a phrase that I put together this week, consistent sustenance, right? Consistent sustenance. It's what's necessary for anything to grow. If you think of a flower, right? What is a flower? Any kind of plant-based thing. What are the two things that it needs? Sunlight and water, right? Sunlight and water. Those are two things. I don't care what kind of plant it is. It needs those two things. Sunlight and water. That's what helps it to grow. And if you take one or the other or both away, what happens? They die. Right? They die. John 7:38, Jesus is saying for us, is saying that I want to have streams of living water flow from deep within him, right? So not only should we have the sun, right? The S-O-N, the sun, but we also need living water, right? It's not, you can't have one, you need both. Jesus wanted us to have both. We need the sun, S-O-N, but we also need the living water. We should desire both. Why? So that we can live. It's a sign that we are growing. And anything that grows, it's that quality time. It's that consistent sustenance. It's that quality time. It could be your marriage, right? Quality time spent in marriage is the one thing my wife wants from me, probably more than anything. She wants to spend quality time with me, right? Why? Because that helps our marriage to grow. If you're on your job, how do you get better at your job? By going to work every day. Hopefully you're doing that, right? You go to work every day, and what happens? You get better at your job. Why? It's you're spending, we don't really want to spend that quality time at your job, but what? You learn to grow within what you're doing. It could be in a sport, right? I'm not the greatest basketball player. Why? I don't spend a lot of quality time playing basketball. Now, Carl is a different story. He'll kill me. But Carl, why? Carl is something that is his passion. It's something that he's passionate about, that he spends quality time. He invests the time into it. And so his ability grows, right? As the more that he engages in playing, the better he gets. And if I would ever, you know, kind of do that, I might be able to dribble just a little bit, right? And you go from, wow, because we all start the same place. We all start here in school. We've all done this, right? And a lot of people, we've kind of stayed here, right? We kind of learn this, bounce the ball. And you kind of stay there and it's kind of wobbling over the place. But after a while you do that, what happens? Your hand starts to get stronger. You start to get familiar with where the ball's going to bounce. There's some things, some innate things that begin to happen as you do. And then you can maybe you do some of this stuff, right? You can start going between the legs, right? Because now you've learned this. Okay, now, wow, there's something else I can do. Wow, because I've learned this kind of basic foundational thing, but man, you know what? I can add something to that. And maybe you go behind the back and you do, no, I don't know. Anyway, I don't play basketball. Anyway, but I'm saying there has to be that quality time. It's that repetitive consistency. It's repetitive consistency that we all need to help us to really be able to grow. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, in some translations it might say fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is that consistent sustenance. It's that communion. Not, yes, we have the wine and the bread, and that's great, but what's really talking about what that communion, that practice that we do symbolizes is the relationship, right? It's the relationship that we have with God. It symbolizes that. And for us, we receive the sustenance of the Holy Spirit through communion with Him. That's where we get our sustenance from. That communion, it's fellowship, it's companionship, it's communication, it's intimacy, it's sharing together, it's social connection, it's partnership, it's joint participation in something, it's close mutual association. God desires to be in a relationship with you. This is what He wants. He desires to be in a relationship with us. And He does that through communion. There's three kind of big ways that I'm going to share here, three ways that we commune with the Holy Spirit, that we commune with God. And it's something that really, if done well, will breed a mutual interest in us, where there's something that we're interested in, and there's something that God is interested in. And obviously, we should be interested in what God is interested in, right? But as we develop this communion, that interest grows. As we grow spiritually, this interest is going to grow more and more. We'll get there, but let me tell you these three things, the three ways we commune, right? We have communion and fellowship. Communion and fellowship is a group of people pursuing a shared interest, companionship. They're sharing together, right? This relationship is symbolized best by it's how we would picture a best friend. Right? What do? You have, growing up, you have a best friend, like you share candy, you share toys, you hang out, you share interests, right? They're interested in something, you're interested in the same thing. You share time together, you share that quality time. That's really what that fellowship is. Romans 5:11 says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That should be what we should be desiring, is to be, man, I want to be God's friend. He wants to be mine. That we are friends of God. We get that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, but it really comes as a result of our connection with the Holy Spirit. As we engage with Him, our friendship with God grows tighter, right? There's a fellowship that blooms. And what happens in a good friendship is that friend will start to shape you. They'll start to sharpen you. You'll start to become like that friend. Right, you'll start to take on their qualities. I see it all the time. You see, I don't know, back in the day, you saw like kids that went like kind of heavy goth, right? And what happened? You saw they started hanging out with more goth kids, and where they might dress maybe kind of preppy, all of a sudden maybe, hey, they're wearing black jeans and then black shoes and maybe some black. What? That happens, right? You see, we see people that are preppy, right? Happens with preppy people. You know, maybe they're kind of the sloppy kid, but, you know, now they're wearing khakis and a polo shirt and, you know, and Docker shoes, right? It's the same thing. As you begin to hang with people, those friends, you develop a close relationship and you kind of take on that identity. That's what fellowship looks like, and it sharpens you. A good friend will make you better. A good friend will really tell you the truth even if it hurts. A good friend will comfort you when you are sad. A good friend is not afraid to tell you about yourself in love, right? They'll let you know. A good friend will help you to see, man, where your weak spots, the things that you could work on and be better at, and even to encourage you when you're down. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's how we commune with the Holy Spirit in fellowship. The second way is this. The second way we commune is through intimacy. Intimacy. It's a connection that goes deep into the thoughts, the secrets, and desires of the heart, right? This relationship is best symbolized by how really you would view your spouse in marriage, right? It's the person that you know, they see all your naked flaws, right? Where nobody else might see the real you, they understand and see the real you, flaws and all. They see it all, right? That James 4:5 says this, that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to dwell in us. That's what God sees it. If anybody can describe it, I jealously long for my wife, right? You better not touch, look, anything of my wife. I might kill you, right? Anyway, just saying that. Lord, forgive me. Anyway, but that's that relationship that I jealously long for that intimacy, for that partnership. That's what we see there. And when I know or understand something of great value and importance, I want to share that with her, right? If there's something that's that intimate secret, those things that I might not tell anybody else, she'll understand more than anybody else. What makes me tick? She gets it, right? What makes my life go? She gets it. What helps us in those times? God, through the Holy Spirit, really wants to be closer to you than to any other person that's in your life. He desires that, an intimate relationship with you, where you're able to share. You're able to really connect in the way. And that's a lot of reason why people do not grow spiritually in God, is because they base their faith on a relationship. I was talking about earlier, a relationship where you receive, but you're not necessarily want to give. We all have relationships like that. But in a marriage and that type of relationship, it's give and take. There's reciprocation, because if there isn't, it's not really a relationship. That's what we see in marriage. I'm willing to do stuff for her, A, because she's my wife, but also because she's a giver. And if she gives, that makes me want to give, right? The third one is this, communion in partnership. Communion in partnership. And a good partnership requires both communication and action. And this relationship is really symbolized by how we would view a coworker, right? And we don't necessarily think about that, man, God's a coworker. But there's actually scripture for it. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are coworkers." Translations say co-laborers in God's service. You are God's field. You're God's building. We are laborers together with God. We've been given the opportunity to work for. We have given the opportunity to work for and with the Creator of the heavens and earth. We get to work in partnership with God, right? We work in partnership with Him. So the things that are going on in my life, the things that I'm desiring, God's working with me in those things. And I'm saying, you know what? The things that God is working on, I'm working on God with those things, right? We're working together. That's that partnership relationship. We said earlier that communion relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we should desire, that there's mutual interest, there's benefit to God in us. Communion with the Holy Spirit leads us to spiritual growth through fellowship, through intimacy, and through partnership. It's what builds us up. It's that edification. And we're built up and we're growing up in our connection to God through the Holy Spirit. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit helps us to mature, helps us to grow to the point where that interest with God is mutual. Where now I'm in, what God wants is really what I want. Because I recognize what I want is what God wants for me. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. I don't have to go far to understand what God wants. Why? Because I'm in consistent relationship with Him. I know when God says jump, I'm saying, okay, God, how high? Right? It's easy to know, right? God's basically, I'm thinking of a number. It's 7, God. It's 7. Why? It probably is 7. Why? Because we have that type of relationship with Him. We know Him. We're communing all the time. We have that relationship of a best friend. We have that relationship of really being a spouse, that spousal type relationship, and of being a coworker. We're working on stuff. When you have those three things working in concert, it's going to cause you to grow. And it's going to cause you to be interested in what God is interested in. Okay, so that kind of begs the big question, what is God interested in? What is God interested in? What is the mutual interest that I should share with God? What is it? It's the lost. It's the lost. The mutual interest that I share with God is the lost. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is what God is interested in. We get to work with God to reach lost people. That's what God is interested in. Why am I growing up spiritually? What is it that God is trying to get into me through this communion? It's His people. It's the lost people, the people that are all around us, and we all have them. We all have those lost people around us. We have friends. Some of us have friends that we see all the time that we know are lost, that we know are going through something. We have family. Some of us have parents that are unsaved, right? We have siblings that are unsaved, that don't know the Lord. We have neighbors, we have coworkers, we have people that are all around us consistently all the time that don't know the Lord. They've lost hope, they've lost direction, and we see them dying of loneliness. We see them dying of addiction. We see them dying of abuse. We see them dying of sin. We see them dying of shame. And we have that, I don't know about you, but that interests me. It interests me. Those people that I have connection to, that interests me, to seeing their lives turned around. It interests me to know that, man, I want them to turn their lives around, and I want to be a part of that. There's a role that I get to play in their lives. We have an interest to see them filled with hope, with passion, with love, pursuing their dreams, living out their best lives. Why? It's this big saying that we have here as a church. One heart matters. Their heart matters. It's that one person. They matter to God. And because they matter to God, they should matter to us. There's the same interest. It's a mutual shared interest. But here's the thing. As much as it may be an interest for us and for God to see them go from being lost to found, none of it matters if we are not built up to be a place that they can turn to. If we don't grow spiritually, if we just stay a foundation place, there's no dwelling place for them to turn to. That's why we have to commune with the Holy Spirit and grow. It's so those people can begin to see us and see, wow, you know what? That's a nice looking house over there. Wow, I saw that house grow from just a foundation, and they put the frame up, and they put the walls up. Man, the windows went in. They put this great paint color, and the ceiling's there. Man, and I know them, and I know that I can go there. I know that that's a safe place that I can go. I've seen it. I've seen everything that they've done. That's what our lives are supposed to be. Those people that are around us, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, even our parents, our siblings are supposed to be able to see us and say, man, wow, I get it now. That's what they're supposed to see in us. And it's the same interest that God has. There's a reason why I'm asking and begging you not only to receive this gift, this free gift of the Holy Spirit, but also to begin engaging on a real level with the Holy Spirit. To begin engaging and communing with him daily. Why? Because you are the access point to people knowing God. It's you. It's not just me. I'm a pastor. That's great. It's my job. I come up here to speak every week. That's what I'm supposed to do. But don't get it twisted. It's your job to grow spiritually. It's your job to be the access point for the people that need to know the Lord. It's you. It's not just me. It's all of us. Let me read again. Ephesians 2:18 says this, says, for through him, is referring to Jesus, we both, meaning us and them, have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's how we're the access point to connect them to God. It's us. Consequently, what happens in our lives? We're no longer foreigners and strangers, but now we're fellow citizens with God's people. At one point, you were a foreigner and a stranger to God. You didn't know him. You didn't connect with him. You didn't have a relationship with him. You didn't desire him. And you know what? We have some family and some friends and some people that we know that are foreigners and strangers to God. They're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. What is God trying to do in us? He's saying, make Jesus the cornerstone of your life. You're going to build that foundation. Great. Jesus is the cornerstone, but don't stop there. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises. So those people that I'm thinking about, my friends and coworkers and my neighbors, we're supposed to join together and rise together. That house that's being built, man, you know what? It's not just my foundation that's having something built on it. It's my neighbor's foundation as well. Right, they're fixing up their house. I'm fixing up my house too. We see it all the time. You go to a neighborhood, see one person cut their grass. What happens the next day? Everybody wants to cut their grass. right? You see somebody go and they've painted their house. What happens? Now everybody wants to go out and start painting their house. That's literally what's supposed to happen in the spiritual realm, is that as we grow in our faith, those people around us are going, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start seeing your life, like, man, that house is starting to look really good. Maybe I should go and cut my grass. Maybe I should go and paint my house. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I should stop doing some of the stuff I'm doing, because what they're doing seems to be going really well. The value on their home is growing. Wow. Maybe I should do that in my house. Man, maybe there's something in my life that I need to change and work on. Man, I see them going to small group. Maybe I need to start going to small group myself. Man, they're smiling every day, and it just seems to be so much happiness and joy on them. You know what? I should figure out why they're smiling or why they have so much joy. And you know what happens? We open the door to our dwelling, to the house that God has created us to be. And we say, you know what? You can come on in and figure out exactly why I'm happy. You can figure out exactly why I'm free. You can figure out why I've become the house that I've become. We have to grow up spiritually. Let me read that last line. I'm sorry. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives. Well, how does it come? It's by his Spirit. That's why we have to engage. I'm almost done. You have to grow up spiritually because why? The people that are around you, their lives literally depend on you. 2 Peter 3:9 in the Message says this, is God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. God doesn't want anyone lost. Those people that are around us, he doesn't want any of them lost. That's why I have to build myself up, because he doesn't want to lose any of them. He's giving everyone space and time to change. I got a little bit of time to work on my house so that I can be the access point for those people to come in. I've got to start getting to work. I got to get it together. What is it in my house? My wife's begging right now. Paint. The baby's coming. You got to paint right now. You got to paint yesterday. Paint last week. Let's get to painting. She wants rooms painted. I'm like, okay, yes, I got to do it. She went and got some paint this week, like put on the walls herself. Hint, hint, I want you to paint, stupid. Okay, I got it, lady. I got to paint. I got to work on my house. But in the same way, I have to grow spiritually. I got to start working on this stuff because God's trying to do something in me, and he's trying to do something in you. Get to work. It's time to grow up. I have a baby on the way. You know what? There's some stuff I got to do before she comes. Why? Because once she comes, my life's going to change. And I'm trying to change for her sake, because I don't want to jack her up. I don't want to be the reason that she's lost. When she could have come to me and said, Daddy, I need this. Man, I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I don't know it because I haven't communed with God. He's trying to change your life, not just to benefit you, but to benefit somebody else that is depending on you. And you might not even see it. You might not even recognize that those people are depending on you. But God is looking at you saying, okay, when are you going to start working on your house? I'm ready for you to do it. It's time. Foundation is great. Awesome. Let's start building on that. Let's start going to that next level. Let's get there. The spiritual growth in our lives through communion is how the Holy Spirit changes us. How do I change in my life? I'm done. How do I change in my life? It's through that communion time with the Holy Spirit. I have to daily make sure that I'm opening up my word. I have to daily make sure that I'm listening to some worship, that I'm talking to God, that I'm doing what it takes to make sure that, man, God, I'm there with you. I'm doing the work every day. Because somebody's life depends on it. I'm interested in what God is interested in. There's a mutual interest there. And it's because I'm growing up spiritually, the more that I'm figuring it out, the more I'm working on my house, the more it's being revealed to me, and the more I'm able to reach the lost. Bow your heads, let's pray. Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.